You are listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the Smart Gilas Pilipinas podcast. It's episode number 59. You got Stan C at your service. Right beside me, Raf Camus. Right across me, Ro Moran. And it's a very special episode because we are hereby dubbing this the Sosai King episode of the SGP podcast.
Why are we calling it the Sosai King episode, Stan?
Obviously, because we have the one and only Sosai King inside the booth right now. He's been one of PWR's biggest supporters. He's also been very instrumental in developing our wrestlers, our boys and girls, get off the ground. And most importantly, he's our very first international guest on the podcast.
Even though he's from right here.
Actually. Right. Yeah. This is a dude who comes here at least once a year. He has family here. He's actually part Filipino. But why are we getting ahead of ourselves? Let's welcome him. Let's officially welcome him to the podcast right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Sosai King.
Oh, hey, guys. This is Sosai King here from Forefront Wrestling in England. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For being a part of the podcast.
And taking the time out of your vacation to be with us.
What? I'm not getting paid for this?
We wish we could.
No, to make you a bit happier, let's talk about a subject that I know...
we're not getting paid anything either.
No, so to make us all happy, let's start off with something that I know all four of us would like to talk about, and that's porn. Let's just get it out there. I know Sai King earlier, he was like, you know, let's talk about porn. Last week's episode was about Maria Ozawa and my quickie elevator moment with her. So let's talk about porn in the UK. Like, off the top of your head, which porn star is the most famous in the UK?
I would say it's Carly Banks or Tori Black.
Ah! Yeah, we love our Tori Black.
Yeah, they're looking after my room at the moment because I'm not there.
So. Like, bed warmers.
Like, even though she's got kids now, two kids.
House sitting.
Which one?
Tori Black's got two kids, bro.
Damn, son.
What? She didn't tell me.
You're not the baby daddy?
No. Don't look Chinese. No,
all right, so let's get to know our guests a little better. And, you know, if you've been hanging out with the PWR crew, you probably already know that Sosai King has been training some of the boys and girls. He's been sharing some lessons and the insights he's learned being in the business and being in UK as well. But we want to get to know him a little better. We'll be talking about his origins in the business and, you know, maybe even the experiences of being a Filipino-Chinese living in the UK, because I think that's, you know, something interesting in its own right as well. So I guess we can start off with asking, like, how did you get into the world of professional wrestling?
Well, like everybody else, just started watching it.
So you how long have you been watching it?
I remember, I think I was eight. Anyone here know what the Betamax is?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, like, you don't have this Netflix or internet streaming. You have to go to a shop and actually rent the tapes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So as a kid, you know, when you watch cartoons, it says something, something, the series.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, yeah, I'm out of tape. For some reason, they got Survivor series.
Ah.
So it's by accident, actually.
So what year was that?
I don't know what year it was, but I remember Undertaker coming out first time, and that was it. I was hooked.
That was 1990.
Wait, sorry. Was this here? Or was this in
it's the here?
Yeah. Here, right?
Wow.
Here. He's from right here. I'm telling you, he's from right here.
Yeah. I told you they threw me away.
when did they fly you away?
I think I don't remember. Like 2002, 2001.
Oh, it's quite recent.
It's recent.
Yeah.
So you basically grew up in Metro Manila.
Yeah.
And were you in high school or were you in college when you went to the UK?
No, in there they have like A levels. I don't know. Maybe that's high school or something.
Around there,
you
right?
Know? And there you go. I just went to university there and just kind of went, what do I want to do? It's like, I don't really know. But I would say I want to be a rock star, but didn't work out. So go with the other hobby, you know? Yeah, wrestling. So, but yeah, it's by accident. So when I saw The Undertaker, and as an eight-year-old, when you see someone like that, you go, whoa, man, what's this? And it's not even, what is this, you know? Wrestling. And
right.
After that, I was hooked, you know?
So Undertaker got you hooked?
Wrestling.
Right.
But the wrestler who wanted me to be a wrestler is a different guy.
Okay. Who might that be? Yeah.
Can you guess?
Shawn Michaels?
Nah.
That's what most people say. Hulk Hogan?
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Interesting.
We were just watching Mr. Hart.
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched
from this Monday's Raw.
Watching this Monday's Raw, and then we saw him announce Sami Zayn.
Oh, he was on Raw?
Yeah. Sami Zayn just had his
Raw was in Montreal.
Oh, they just spoiled Raw for me this week, guys.
We have the download here, so we
can... I haven't seen the whole thing either, so...
Yeah.
What? Illegal downloads as well, Vince, if you're listening.
Right here.
Right here.
Vince, if you're listening, make the network available already.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We will pay for the network.
No,
we don't have it here.
We don't have it here.
We have illegally paid for the network.
Like, you have to work out some VPN shit.
So it's like halfway between illegal and legal. We paid for it. Not us,
but our friends.
Our friends paid for it. Okay. We're not technically supposed to have it.
Also, you don't have the network in here. But
nope.
We do not.
Oh, well, that's not your fault,
then, I guess. We've been asking. I mean,
see, it's not our fault. Vince, it's not our fault, man.
See, Vince, people here are craving wrestling. Give it to them. Right? That's money.
Yeah.
It is money. It's easy money.
Yeah.
Right, so going back, Bret Hart, the guy who made you want to get into wrestling, but who's your favorite of all time?
Oh, Bret Hart, yeah. It's going to be Bret Hart.
It's Bret Hart. Yeah. Do you have, like, a favorite match from Bret Hart or, like, a favorite portion of his career, a favorite run or a storyline?
I think it would be Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect.
Ooh. Oh, right.
Yeah, and then Iron Man match as well.
Okay. With Austin.
With Austin.
No, with Shawn Michaels.
Yeah,
WrestleMania 12.
Right.
That was good. It's like... I never thought going 1 hour would be possible and entertaining, but wow, man, that was crazy.
Now, you know? So you watched Bret Hart go basically throughout his prime, and at what point in your life did the dream actually start becoming real? Like, you started having this itch to get in the ring?
When I knew I wasn't going to make it as a rock star. No, just kidding. No, it's just one of those things. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, why not try it, you know, because I'm having a go, you know, playing in a band. Yeah. And all of that. It's like, it wouldn't hurt, you know?
Yeah.
So, like I said, regret is a bad thing, you know? Mm-hmm. When you wake up one day, it's like, oh, man, I'm 80. Oh, man, why didn't I try it? It's a bad thing. I mean, if I die at 40, then at least, oh, man, it's a life well lived, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So which school did you go to?
Oxford Brookes.
No, I mean wrestling school.
All the way. Forefront Wrestling.
Okay, they have a training camp.
Yeah, and I actually went on a small tour in England to check out the wrestling schools.
Okay. So what did you see in your tour?
You'll just know it feels right.
Okay.
And I think the rest of the tour, everyone was more like... I remember there was one school near my place.
Right.
Yeah.
And I remember the guy saying, oh, man, I wish you'd come back because... we don't have an Asian here. I was like, what? It's like, seriously? And they tried to put me in the storyline already.
Yeah.
I was just in the crowd.
Okay.
Yeah, and the guy put, like, a mist in my face.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, then I said, what's that about? It's like, oh, because we know you're checking out the school, so we kind of put you in the storyline. So it's like, it means they're rushing me to go into the main roster.
Yeah.
So that's a bad...
much.
I took that as a bad sign. It's more of like, yeah, we need a body. Let's just, you know, put them in there. Whereas Forefront Wrestling, it's more like, oh, yeah, you got the look. You're not ready. It's like... that's what I want, you know? Because they're there to stroke your ego. Man, trust me. There's a lot of wrestling companies in the UK. Mm-hmm. They put all these photos, the best match ever. And I look the best. And, man, I don't even want to say, you know?
May I ask who is the trainer at Forefront Wrestling?
It changed throughout the years. Before it was The Saint.
Mm-hmm. And then
JD Knight. I don't know if you guys follow Forefront Wrestling. You know, if you're aware
of
who's who. Yeah. We got three trainers. David Sharp is the main guy. Okay. And then JD Knight and The Saint.
When you came in, it was?
All the three of them.
Okay.
I tried to pick as much as I can.
Oh,
and
awesome.
They all have different training styles, you know. But one common denominator in Forefront Wrestling is conditioning.
Okay. Yeah.
Conditioning. So it's one of those, you know, if you think our guys can go, we can go.
Even though the British style of wrestling is kind of, it's heavy on catch. So, they're not really, from what I see, they're not really, you know, flying around the ring and shit like that. So even though it's like that, you conditioning is a really important part of the training there.
Yeah, it's very important, especially if we send guys over to Japan.
Right.
You know, some of the, we have links with 01 and Michinoku Pro.
Okay.
When we send guys over there, they were like, man, your guys can go. You know, I mean, they struggle. I wouldn't say it's an easy walk.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, that's the point of conditioning. Condition your body. If you're not challenging yourself, then it's not conditioning. It's just a walk in the park, you know?
Can you take us through the process of starting out? Because, I mean, like, for our listeners who, you know, haven't been in the ring and maybe have been wondering, how's it like to try wrestling in another country? So how's the process like? Can you take us through that?
I mean, I don't know if it helped a lot because I was already a gym rat anyway.
Right.
Okay.
You know, it's like my hangout place, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but, like, starting out, I think, first thing is I'm always check the school first, see what people are they producing, you know.
Okay.
I mean, if you check Forefront Wrestling, they're producing quite good stars, you know. I mean, to a point, some of them like having tryouts with big companies in the world.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I check out. And of course, number two is always listen to your trainer. You know, like in the gym, if you have your trainer, forget what everyone else is doing. Just listen to your trainer because he's focused on you. They're not focused on you. They're just doing their thing. So ignore what everyone else is doing. Just focus on what your trainer is telling you to do. You know, if your trainer tells you, oh, man, you have to do like, I don't know, 100 squats at home just to build it up.
Yeah.
So you can do 300 when we go training. Yeah, you do it. You know, silly thing. Like you said, oh, if you're bored at home, just look at the mirror, practice your selling face.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And my trainer does that. He said, oh, when he's at work, he's just there pretending someone's giving him a wrist lock. So when he does it, it's like it's automatic. It's just so natural now, you know. Mm-hmm.
That is some really good advice.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
You.
Now, what are the initial challenges that you had entering the business? Like, was there any negative feedback from, let's say, your family or your friends or anybody?
Oh, yeah. Keep it a secret from your family, first thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, like, how long did you keep it a secret from them?
I don't know. Maybe, like, 2.5 years.
Ooh, that's okay. a long time.
That's long. Yeah,
that is really long.
Yeah. Well, my siblings knew about it, though. So I said, oh, man, my neck is hurting. I got this whiplash.
Okay.
You know, well, I need to complain to someone, you know?
Right.
What did your parents say or your mom say?
At first, they were joking. I thought, oh, man, yeah, right. You know, you're joking. Then I brought a poster from one of the shows.
With like, your photo on it.
Yeah, so that guy looks familiar. It's like, holy crap, that's you. I was like, yeah. So it went from holy crap to like, yeah, that's my son.
Aww. So, you know. But it's easier to keep it secret from them. So they're here and then you're there.
It's more of you know how parents are. No matter how old you are, you're still going to be their young boy. You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's like, mom, I'm a grown up. It's like, yeah, but you want this? Do you want that? It's like, yeah, but in their eyes, you're still going to be their little kid, you know? So they're, especially if I'm not here in this country, mm-hmm. I'm living
yeah.
on my
All
own.
The more, yeah.
All the more,
yeah. They're more like, oh, you okay there? It's like, you know.
But what'd you tell them? Like, throughout the 2.5 years that you didn't tell them, what did they think you were doing in the UK?
Well, just, they're not going to the gym. You know, I have my ways, you know. We have our ways, you know.
Yeah, like everybody comes up with some shitty
excuse. Yeah.
And I'm curious because you mentioned you had siblings and, you know, they were the ones who you'd tell about the injuries and whatnot. Are you the eldest? Are you the middle child?
I'm the eldest, yeah.
So you're the eldest. Yeah. So how did they receive it, your siblings? Like when you would tell them, you know, hey, you know, I've got a neck injury from wrestling and whatever. Like how was that?
Just typical. Oh, yeah, you know, just be careful, you know, the usual thing. At least they said, oh, you know, if it's what you want doing, you know, then just do it, you know.
All right. So so taking off from that, how were your first days in the business like?
I mean, like as a trainee or as a
a trainee.
You can start with trainee and then further down, like once you start putting on.
Yeah, as a trainee, I think it's more of like, I wouldn't say they pick on you, but it's more like, oh man, this guy looks jack. I mean, I'm not jack, but for an Asian,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
I mean, especially in England, I'm not stereotyping, but the usual Asian you get is Indian of Indian descent.
Yes.
Okay. Right. You know, like Indian or. I don't know, like sort of Chinese, but it's not very common, you know, especially like from here. It's like, well, which country are you from? They're trying to figure out. So it's definitely Asia, but I can't put my finger on it. You know?
But did you say you were from the Philippines or from Hong Kong? Or
I just said I'm from the Philippines, you know?
Yeah.
So they were like trying to come up on what do we do with this guy, you know? And then, but yeah, so like I said, they treat you the same, you know, as any other trainees, like no matter where you're from. You know, and it's quite mixed at 4FW, so that's quite, you know, that's quite good.
So it's a mixed ethnicities and...
Yeah. So that's one thing that we have, you know. The only thing is we're trying to stay away from black, you know, black wrestling gear.
Ooh. Okay, you know?
Why is that?
It's
because I got dibs on black. No, I'm just kidding. I'm getting a new gear soon. I'm just, once I get my, you know, things sorted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get a new repackage, Soul Sai King.
Talking about ethnicities for a quick bit, you said there was a mixed bag of ethnicities over at Forefront Wrestling, but you're billed as a Chinese wrestler.
Yeah.
What's up with that, for those who don't know?
Okay. I'm not bragging,
right.
But it's because after a year in the business, I got tryout with WWE.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's where, oh man, Vince is looking for a Chinese because he wants to enter the Chinese market.
Right.
Know, China is a big market, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is made in China. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but so they said, oh, you're looking for Chinese. So my promoter said, you know what, you know, forget the Philippine, you know, background. Let's just go with the Chinese.
Okay.
So I was billed as the the silent assassin at first. It was silent assassin because I started as a bodyguard
right.
with Diesel.
Okay. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Just to get me into the crowd. And not,
yeah.
You know,
sure.
Then I'm just the assassin as an active wrestler in the roster.
But did you go by any other names other than your given name?
No, just that one. You know?
So the gimmick was initially to position you as for an eventual tryout and then maybe.
No, it just came about. I went to
because of the tryout.
Yeah, it's because of the tryout. Oh, okay, it kind of swayed right. that my character should go there.
Oh,
because mm-hmm. of course, if you got a bigger chance of getting noticed by WWE, then you might as well go with that character.
Yeah,
because it's sort of like, you know, like some wrestlers trying to find their character.
Yes,
yeah.
You know. So for me, I think that's like, okay, that's sort of a sign that that's what you should be. So I just kind of run with it, you know.
But what was your initial gimmick? Like when you started out, before the assassin gimmick, what was your gimmick?
You mean like before being an active roster? Or
I think that was a start.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I said I started as a bodyguard, as JD Knight's bodyguard.
Right. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah, so I didn't speak, you know. Mm-hmm. I was just, you know, the muscle. I was just there behind him. I do the, you know, the cheating for him.
Right, you do the run-ins and all that.
Yeah, well, I was just there as a bodyguard. So if the ref wasn't lying, doing the, you know, choking and, you know, tripping the leg and all that kind of stuff.
So you never really played babyface?
No.
Oh, he was telling us in the car right over here, he loves being a heel.
Yeah, yeah.
What about it? Like, what about being a heel makes you enjoy it?
I don't know, because I like pissing people off. But, yeah, because you take control, you know? You're in control if you're the heel, you know? Take charge.
Over the years, like reading and listening to a lot of wrestlers past and present talk about the babyface and heel alignment, they always say that playing heel is easier. But would you agree with that statement, though?
I guess maybe it's based on personality. Some people like, you know, working face. It's more of like, oh, you know, the easy, you know, outgoing guy, whereas the guy, oh, man, I like pissing people off really easily. It's just, I think it's based on the personality. I wouldn't say it's easier.
Yeah.
Because I got like, some of the guys are playing heel tonight. It's like, what? Uh-huh. So they have a hard time, you know. No matter what they do, the crowd will cheer for them. Just shut up, man. You're not really, you know, you're not really trying to piss us off.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Whereas me, it's the other way around, you know. I remember the promoter throwing me a curveball one time.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, yeah, it's your match. Oh, by the way, you're face tonight. It's like, what? It's like, I've never done face before, you know?
So how'd you react? How did you get through the show?
I packed my bags, went, no. You know, I just went with it. I just, you know, I just asked for some advice, you know, what would you suggest? Oh, you know, how to, you know, the easiest one is like, you know, touch the fans' hands. Like, oh, yeah, you know, do the cheesy clapping. You know, but like I said, it's a learning experience for me, you know, so now I can just work face and heel easily, you know. But like I said, some people have a hard time doing that.
Right.
You know.
Okay. You mentioned earlier that you had a tryout with WWE. Yeah. This is one of the stories.
Cats out of the bag, yeah.
Yeah, the cat's out of the bag. We might as well get into it.
How was it?
Yeah, how was it? What was the experience like? And yeah, maybe you can get through some of the names of the folks that you tried out with.
You want me to name drop?
Yeah, yeah.
I never do such a thing. You know?
But first of all, you tried out when they were in the UK, not when... Did you have to go to Florida or whatever?
Oh, no. This is before the Performance Center. This,
right.
was, oh, okay. this was FCW.
Okay.
Yeah, FCW. Basically, I went to up north. There was like a wrestling... British Wrestling Council.
Right.
So they gather all the wrestling schools in England.
Council?
Is it like that's equivalent of NWA in the UK?
NWA?
It's like
the national.
It is the UK. The British Council is in the UK.
Right, so it's like a coalition of all the wrestling schools or wrestling federations.
Something like that. You
okay.
know? But it's not like a call. It's like somebody organized it.
Right.
So you can see how the other schools
fare
up.
Okay.
It's like a conference.
Yeah. Something like that. And then, you know, people would have matches. People would go to different sections. So there's going to be like, one's doing seminar on conditioning, one is on moves, on... You know, so forth, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so okay. I was doing that, such and such, and then I was walking away, and then, you know, this guy grabbed me, guy in a big suit. He's like, hey, you know, and gave me his card, and it's like, oh, you're a talent scout? Holy crap. It's like WWE talent, you know, I got a WWE.
Wow.
You know?
Okay.
Do you remember his name?
Yeah. He's Drew McDonald, sadly, who passed away this year.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, so rest in peace, buddy. Yeah.
Wait, he's the guy that Paige mentioned like several weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think Paige did shout him out, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
He's a veteran in the British scene, that's why he's...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's the one who grabbed me. It's like, then, you know, my trainer said, oh, yeah, Vince is looking for a Chinese. So they have this some certain requirements, sort of like I'm looking for this, this, and this, or you know, a girl with tattoos, whatever, you know. So that's when that's his job to find.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they don't actually, you know, hold tryouts to just get whoever wrestler is good enough to be in the WWE. They're actually looking for a specific kind of wrestler.
I mean, at that time, I think now it's changed. People can just go to Florida and get a tryout. Right. I don't know how it works. Yeah,
but at that the time, they were looking for a profile.
And like I said, it was so, you know, like about 2010, 2011, this was like FCW.
Yeah.
You know, and NXT was still on the TV, like the really crappy, they do the competition.
Right, right. Reality format.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. So it's so different, you know?
Wait, at this time, how long have you been wrestling?
A year.
A year, okay.
That's why the guys who were wrestling longer than me is like...
So you were like a relative newcomer to all of these guys.
Pretty much, yeah.
And they treated you like a rookie. So as this was happening, what were the steps that you took in order to get closer to that tryout? Like, did you have to prepare, undergo some regimen of some sort before you went to Florida?
I didn't go to Florida. I just went to the UK when WWE was coming out.
Okay.
Yeah, just to make that clear.
Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But no, they just tell you, send us some promo photos.
Yeah.
Upload it to FCW.
Uh-huh.
So they have like a website before, like, you know, FCW Recruit or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So you have your own file there, so you can log in, check your profile, fill in all the details, which one you're applying for, mm-hmm. you know, who recruited you, such and such. You have to put their names in, so uh-huh. they know, oh, it's not some guy who, oh, I finally found the secret link, you know, right. to put my photos on.
Okay.
There is a secret link. There was a secret link.
Yes, sadly, I checked. It's not there anymore. So, yeah, it all changed to NXT now.
Yeah.
So during the tryout,
Now, how was the experience first?
Yeah, how was the experience like during that
tryout? Nerve-wracking, yeah. Because this is like, man, I've been in a year. It's like, I'm here now. It's like, what was it? It was Men Arena, Manchester Evening News Arena. It's like, not many wrestlers can say, oh, man, I've been in that arena, yeah.
What did they have you do?
It's very, you have to go to physical first to check, you know, you have to sign the, you know, if you waivers. Break your neck type of, you know.
Right.
The waivers, yeah.
Yeah, type of thing. And then, yeah, it's pretty much like they just, you know, watch what you do. It's like... Which is nerve-wracking because they have you all lined up in the ring. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, you wrestle. It's like, oh, okay, then that's it.
And you don't know, the fly.
Yeah, and then you don't know how good the guy is. You never worked with them before. And then you got Regal watching, Triple H watching, Laura Knight is watching. And you got all the NXT guys. Again, the old NXT guys. I remember Titus and, what's his name? Husky Harris.
Ray Wyatt.
Yeah, he's Wyatt now. Yeah, yeah. They were all like, you can just tell. It's like, oh, let the greener guys first, then the green guys, then the main, you know.
Wow. Yeah. That must have been something to wrestle in front of William Regal and Triple H only a year in.
Yeah. Did they give you feedback like throughout the process?
I think some of them they did, and some of them I think what's his name? Carano.
Mark Carano.
Yeah, I see you guys know more than me. You know?
No, I watched Total Divas, man.
Yeah, yeah. He just kind of said like, oh, you can't speak Chinese. It's like, yeah, only a tiny bit. It's like, oh, you should speak. I think that was the feedback. Like, you need to speak Chinese.
Damn. That was the feedback.
Stan.
Yeah. No, can you speak Chinese?
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Yeah, he said, I have no idea what he
said. So. Can you speak Filipino, though?
So, yeah, but like I said, not, you know. Yeah. It's a bit of...
All right.
I can understand a bit. But,
right.
So, guys, when you get a chance to speak Chinese, just go with it, you know.
All right, now I know. Yeah. I'm going to take your notes.
No, but you still have to go through boot camp.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's right. I need to start hitting the gym.
So, Vince, I got a wrestler here who can speak Chinese. So,
You've got a general manager.
I want my finder's fee. Okay.
So, a valet.
How long was that tryout with WWE? Was it a day, a couple days?
A whole day. People who go now, they say it's 3 days now.
Yeah, yeah,
before,
I heard.
It was just it's sliced into conditioning, wrestling, and then promos.
Were there any current WWE superstars who were with you during that tryout?
Yeah, Saraya, she got signed.
Now known as Paige.
Yeah,
right.
Now known as Paige. Hanging out a lot with Barry. Batista look like. Sorry, I had to say.
Mason Ryan.
Yeah, that guy. Very friendly guy. Yeah, you know.
The Welsh guy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Welsh guy. Unfortunately, I guess he got released because we got Batista. Why do we need someone who looks like Batista? Yeah. But yeah, very, very nice guy. You know, I wish, you know, they used him more. You know, underutilized, I think.
Any veterans that you had a run in with or that you bumped into?
Oh no, I met pretty much all of them. I mean,
they're all there.
MVP. Low key, he was really bored in there, I can tell. And apparently he was gone after like a few months.
Yeah, he was really in it.
You know?
He didn't look very much into it at the time.
Well, he doesn't like a lot of things.
I mean, I can just tell when we were back, he was just there, you know, just watching. It's like he was just bored out of this, you know. He wasn't enjoying it. You can just get the vibe, you know. Cena, met Cena, of course.
But how's that again, like?
He just shook my hand. But again, he's very, you know. He was very respectful and, yeah, mm-hmm. So, again, respected a guy. You know, people don't like him, but he's very respectful. He's very humble, you know. He just said, hey, how's it going? He knows we're going to the tryouts, you know.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it does, actually. Yeah.
I mean, for aspiring wrestlers like Ro and myself, it's like that's something that we want to do, like, further down the road. But, you know, we're very far away from that. So, I'd like to ask
very,
you.
Very, very far away.
Yeah, very far away. I'd like to ask you, on behalf of the PWR guys, I know that, you know, we've told you earlier that the training drills now, we actually...
Wait, before we even... Sorry, slow your roll.
Oh, man, it's like the traffic. It's cutting you off.
It's cutting you off. No, no, no. I want to lead into this the right way. And before we talk about the PWR guys, I want to ask, how did they get you to teach them things and train them and, you know, try to improve their conditioning and stuff?
What do you mean, like, how they got me to...
How did they get you?
How did they get in contact with you? What's the story of them, of you working with them?
Oh, I see. Let me think. I think it was my trainer.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he just kind of, you know, check out or get links with other companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, hey, you're from the Philippines, aren't you? It's like, yeah. You know, they got this, like, Facebook page. Okay. Philippine Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. So they talk about... So I thought that was the company.
Yeah.
So I just sent him a message. Said, oh, hey. So I think they were featuring, like, I'm wrestlers who's like half Filipino.
Right.
So I just kind of, hey, you know, just so you know, I'm also half Filipino. I wrestle in England. And they said, oh, they just put my, you know, old photo there, you know.
Yeah, I think it's still up there.
Yeah, it's still up there. You look like a lot slimmer in that photo. But
yeah, because I've been eating here like all the junk I can.
it's not a knock on you. It's like you look a lot larger and imposing.
More jacked.
Now. Yeah, a lot more jacked. I'm trying to find the right words.
Uh-huh. Well, I've been juicing on coconut juice and mango juice.
Yeah, all natural. I love it.
Yeah, that's juicing for you.
And then you messaged the guys at Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, I just said, hey, man, it's like, cool. You got like, you know, because like I said, wrestling here is just so alien. I didn't, you know, you don't know if is there fans in here. It's like, it's just so alien. But like I said, when you got wrestling here now, it's like you're the glue now. Put all these guys together. It's like there's actually a fan base.
Pretty much. There you go.
Know? I mean, you know, this has been the objective of the podcast ever since we started more than a year ago. Like, you know, just get a community together.
Yeah, but always remember you're the glue that, you know, you're the guys that's keeping it all together.
Yeah,
you know?
We try our best.
You know, because there's fans out there. I mean, you know, when Mike told me it's like a podcast, it's like, oh, I'm excited. It's like, really? Yeah. What, they want me? Really?
Hey.
No, we're glad you accepted the invitation.
Yeah, we really are.
Like, I was excited as fuck. I can probably say the same about these guys.
And then, okay, sorry. Getting back to the story.
Yeah, sure.
And then you messaged them, they talked to you, and then how long did it take until you finally got to come here and then train with them?
Well, I just kind of messaged, what's his name? He's in Hong Kong. I think his name is William.
Yeah.
William.
And I said, oh, he's the go-to guy. He's like, oh, you want to, so I just, hey, man, I was like, just so you know, I'm going there. And then, you know, I just want to check it out. Because, of course, to me, it's like, you want to see it for yourself, wrestling in the Philippines, really?
Right.
Yeah, you know, you want to see it for yourself. Then I said, you know, is there anything I can do? You know, so I said, yeah, why not, you know, train the guys and see how it is.
Okay.
And then when you got here, how was it? How did you find the guys who were, well, trying to train to be pro wrestlers?
I mean, to be honest, I was just excited that there's wrestling here, you know? Yeah. It's just like, it's a whole new, wow, man. It's just like, it's really people who likes wrestling here. I'm more excited rather than, oh, you know, he's not good.
That's a very positive outlook on it.
Yeah, but like I said, to be fair, you didn't have it here. So there's nothing like, oh, I used to train in this school, in that school. You had nothing. Yeah.
So there are no schools.
Yeah, so from nothing seeing that, it's you know, it's wow, you know.
So it's not a big deal to you that, you know, we start from scratch and then, you know, try to apply what we learn from where we can find it, you know, whether it's online or some random video on YouTube. As long as there's something here, you're happy to help out. That's really great.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Because people always need to think about the background.
Right.
Right.
You know, you can't stay to judge. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, they're not very good. It's like sometimes you see, oh, they're not very good. But then again, you see the train. Oh, I see why. You know?
And so, yeah, let's get to your question, Camus.
Yeah, sorry.
I was leading up to something. So I know that you haven't gotten a chance to see a live show yet. You haven't gotten to see much of, like, the... with the exception of boot camp and, like, the work that we do there and the drills that you've trained them with, how do you think we can improve the wrestling, like, the level of wrestling in the Philippines?
Get
like,
a wrestling just ring.
Yeah. Well, we're trying on that, but... like, you know, with what we have right now, like, what do you think we need first?
You mean, like, in terms of...
in terms of, like, actual wrestling. Not necessarily, like, supplies or merch or things like that, but, like...
I think some what we need to figure out and understand and grasp.
Oh, I think it's more of find to develop the wrestling, you mean.
Yeah,
I think you need to find wrestling. Your style.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want, because... you know, when we go to, like you said, oh, you wrestle British style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said wrestle Japanese style. You wrestle Mexican style.
Yeah.
So next time I want to say, oh, you wrestle Philippine style. You develop your own style. So that makes you, you know, make it different, you know?
Yeah.
But is it possible to combine all of these different styles that fans have been accustomed to see and, you know, making it our own?
Yeah.
Or is it more important to, like, come up with our own original style?
I think it's better to, like, you know, mix it up. Pick up bits and pieces and give it our own twist, you know? I mean, like in Mexico, they do wrist locks on the other side. So, so again, not name dropping. When we train with Juventud, Juventud, the WWE guy or WCW guy.
Right. Yeah,
Juventud Guerrero.
Yeah, so he was like doing wrist locks on the other side. So for us, it's like you're driving on the other side of the road.
Right. Which for you, that's natural.
Yeah,
driving on the other side of the road.
Well, not that,
well, even here when I'm crossing the road, I was just like, oh, the car's on the other side. You know?
So it's a bit disorienting.
Yeah, but like I said, you know, I hope they can develop their own style, you know, Philippine style of wrestling. I think to develop that's just pick bits and pieces up from other styles, then make it your own. But that's what I want to say, because people can say, oh, yeah, that's Japanese style or, you know, Mexican style, like Lucha Libre style, you know, but that's their style.
Right.
So you want to say, oh, that's Philippine style.
Right.
You know?
Just to add to that, I just think that wrestling has been around for so long, and it's kind of hard to be original lately. And, you know, with so much that has happened since over, what, the past 100 years.
Yeah.
So I think any new style has to be a mix of
something.
Existing styles.
Yeah.
Yeah, at some point it's going to reference something, right? I want to talk about your current gimmick. Like, you mentioned that you're still rolling with the assassin gimmick. So how did that gimmick come about? And what are the intricacies, like, let's say, with your appearance or with the way that you conduct yourself that you pay attention to apply to that gimmick?
I mean, the original plan is, you know, I'm wrestling as the assassin.
Yeah.
As a singles competitor.
Right.
Then I was going to be put into a tag team, which will be called the Renegade Assassins.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, so again, to repackage, slowly repackaging myself, I put face paint now as well.
Okay.
Yeah, which, you know, again, I'm bad with social media, so you don't see any new photos in there. I mean, I think I put one on Twitter when I was trying to figure out, so if you can check that out, there's one photo there with me face paint on.
Okay.
Yeah. The problem is the guy I was teaming with, he kind of went AWOL, so I don't know what happened with him.
Oh, that sucks. Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Damn.
But like at the moment, it's like, yeah, that's fine. I can still keep the thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I do my face paint.
So you do it yourself?
Yeah, yeah. So no, I have a makeup. No, yeah, I do it myself. Yes, I still kind of do that. Again, you know, make myself look different from the other guys. I'm the only guy who wears face paint in the roster.
Uh-huh.
So that's quite good. And like, I'm just trying to work on the colors now because I have a black and silver theme at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm planning to add purple to that. So.
Ooh.
Just to, you know, the old crush, you know. The silver,
yeah, that's
like,
right.
Yeah, so in the face paint. So,
but do you speak? Like, do you cut promos, or is it still a non-speaking character?
Oh, I speak now. Yeah, yeah. You know, I just tell guys, oh, shut up, you know, all that, you know.
So it's just in English. Like, no, you have. Do you have any plans of like incorporating, say, Tagalog or Chinese?
I kind of try to speak, you know, small Chinese phrases.
Like what?
Just to say, oh, like. Diablo.
Yeah.
It means over, right?
Yeah, over. Yeah.
So people just say, over. So I just go, Diablo.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, wait, that's an awesome
small phrase because, you know, we can't really speak it. So just kind of small phrases go, oh, maybe he's Chinese. Maybe.
Right. No, but that's awesome. I think it's awesome because that's the local dialect right here as well.
Yeah.
Like the local Chinese speak Minanhua, which is basically what you know, the language from which you took that phrase.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. So after the tryout, I put on like Rosetta Stone straight away. I said, oh man, if I want this, it's like, and then it's like, man, it's such a hard language to learn, you know.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Did you ever go through like language school? Like, you know, did you ever go learn Chinese in school? Because like,
You mean memorized it? Yeah, I did. That's why I didn't learn it. Just memorized that.
Yeah, I can relate.
I can relate. I'm sure this guy can relate too.
Yeah,
it's like we went to school together.
Yeah, we went to high school together in a Filipino Chinese Catholic school.
So we know what you mean when you say it. You memorize it, then you don't understand it.
And it's just so different. Like, you know, when they know you can speak Chinese, they become your best friend all of a sudden. You know, when you do like business or something. I don't know.
Oh, that's true. That's
you know.
True.
You go, oh, yeah, how much? And you start speaking, like, oh, man. Yeah, they're best friends now, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. Right now that you're, I think, what, 6 years, 7 years into your career, what have been the biggest challenges, like, you know, now that you have a career going on?
My age. You know, no matter what you do, you know, you're going to get older every year, you know? You want to do something, you got to do it now.
We may ask, how old are you?
I just turned 33. That's why I said no to PWR last Sunday because it's the birthday of the century, not the fight of the century.
That explains a lot.
Right, yeah. Right. So you're 33. How do you build yourself in terms of height and weight? So what's your build height and weight?
It's 6 foot.
Uh-huh.
And weight is about 228, 230 pounds or 15 and a half stone, 16 stone. Yeah. I don't know. Do you have stones in
here? We've tried
to grasp the idea of stone. It's just
basically thinks of the Highlanders, Robbie and Rory.
Whatever happened to them? Right.
No, it's like also when the when they do UFC shows in England, it's like UFC. It's like, oh, they're changing everything to stone. Compute. I get where it comes from, but it's just alien to me.
Stone is, yeah. I always figured it's like 20 pounds. Anyway, how long have you been wrestling by now?
By now, about five and a half, going to 6 years now, I guess.
So you started a bit late, I guess.
A bit late.
Late 20s.
What happens if you want to try to be a rock star? First, you know?
How did that go, by the way?
Huh?
How did that go?
It was okay, but at the end of the day, it's like, oh, maybe I give another crack at this. I still got my guitars at home, you know, they're nice. Eating dirt, but I can't bring myself to sell them because, you know.
Sentimental value.
What kind of music do you guys play?
Like, sort of a Motley Crue, sort of Kiss. Yeah, it's my favorite
band.
That's
awesome.
Kiss, you know.
Yeah. Very much like Chris Jericho.
Oh, okay, yeah. Chris Jericho, yeah.
And then, well, being 33 now and being 5 years in the business, how do you conduct business with other promotions? Other promotions who want to book you, or how do you conduct business when you're, you know?
Oh, they just ring my trainer. Can we book this guy? Oh, he says no. Why? No, he's just lazy. You know, in England, wrestling is quite good. Like, you can do it full time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they're like camps. I don't know if you have camps here, holiday camps.
No. Can you explain that?
Yeah,
it's like. If you want to take your family on holiday, you go to a camp. You know, there's like swimming pools, slides.
Oh, okay.
There's like rides, and they're like, oh, in the afternoon, oh, there's a special wrestling show attraction.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Like so a theme park, right?
So that one's quite good because the promoters get paid by the theme park. I need you to put on a wrestling show, so money's sort of guaranteed. They don't care. There could be like one family watching the show, and you still get paid.
Right.
You know, so that's when they say you're doing the camp. So it lasts for like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They book you, and it's an easy crowd. You know,
how good is the money in the camp?
It's family. I mean, it depends, I guess.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, I remember one of the guys doing there is like, yeah, it's decent, but like I said, you know, you have to do a full time to really get decent. You know.
Okay.
And then you were telling us on the ride here, on the way here, that you don't always take the bookings that are offered to you.
Yeah.
Why would that be?
Because sometimes the promoters take advantage.
Okay.
Okay.
Because some wrestlers, I'm not saying everyone does it, but like I said, this is my view.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
It's
yeah.
like some people like, oh, you want to, yeah, I'll wrestle. It's like, you know, forget the money, whatever. It's like people, it's like you're begging for work. You're going to take anything that's being offered to you, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whereas like, oh, who am I wrestling? Oh, is it a good company? You know, am I going to get taken care of? You know, so sort of how I see it, you know, like respect for, okay. you know, for me and the company as right. well. So, you know, right. say, oh, you're from 4SW. Yeah, it's like, yeah, we don't beg for work. Work finds us. I mean, not Ooh. Bragging, but, you know, that's,
so,
you know.
So apart from 4FW, what are these other independent companies that actually treat people well, for those who don't know?
Well, I don't think I want to promote them here, you know, but
It's okay. I mean, like, we can get into 4FW in a bit, but... Yeah, like, just how many actually? It's to.
I mean, there's like one budget. Big company in England who does, like I said, the camps.
Yes.
You know, so that one they'll treat you nice. They even pay gas money, food.
Oh,
whatever.
Hey, that's pretty good.
You know, and there's like the other ones who are like the cheap ones. They pay you below the minimum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
below the average.
Yeah. So like, there's a minimum. Like I said, when I did the training with PWR, I said, look, man, I won't charge much, but there's a minimum that I can't really go below.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's sort of like, it's practically free, to be honest, but like I said, it's just something, you know, just to say... Yeah.
That you're paying for something, for the services that you're rendering.
Yeah. But like I said, you know, I didn't mind doing it, but like now at the moment, I just said, okay, like, it just needs to be, because I kind of told my trainer, I said, what? It's like, okay, well, this is the low I can go, then, you know, like I want to help out, right, but it's not because, you know, if I can just say, oh, man, I'll charge you this much and just teach you how to do a clothesline, then that's me taking your money.
Yeah, right, it is.
Yeah, but if that's me going, hey, man, yeah, I want to help out, you know, I want to be part of this. So next time when, like, oh, man, that was an awesome match, then I can name drop, I trained those guys.
Yeah, I love it. Actually, I love the pride.
Actually, you know, like, even when we get into it, like, even on your first day in training, one of the first, like, the hardest first days that I had, they said, okay, we're going to be running you through drills, and then they gave us the whole backstory. Oh, Sosai King, this guy who wrestles in England, he came over, he did a workshop for us, and then these are his drills, these are real things. And then, like, I that was the worst conditioning day I've ever had in my life. Like, I was so...
out of condition.
I was so out of shape after that. It's just like, my body hurt so much.
Oh, that's the whole point, man. But go back to day one. You'd be like, yeah, man, I'm better now.
Yeah.
I always look at day
you're
one.
You're better now.
No, hey, it's 3 months in.
Yeah, it is.
Let's talk about...
Wait. I want to ask, who sets this minimum wage?
Is it an industry standard, or is it, like, trainer or
it's
your
sort of
4FW guys?
It's sort of an industry standard.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I know of anyway. But like I said, some of the guys would go, oh, yeah, man, I'll do it. You know, pay me peanuts or whatever. I don't know, man. It's just, you know, degrades the business, I guess.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we haven't gotten into 4FW much. I mean, I've tried to find videos online that we can watch.
I gotta buy the DVDs.
Yeah,
man.
I know.
Did you
bring any over? It's like, no. Well, I'm gonna try and grab some. Like, from, I have a friend who's going over to England. I'll have him buy a few.
You can order it online. You know that?
Yeah. Oh, do they ship here?
I think so. I mean, I remember the promoter saying we get so much in Texas. Our shows, you know, we get so much sales in Texas. Oddly enough.
Oh, you know? Why in Texas?
Why
would
Texas?
You know?
I don't know. It's just random, I guess.
Wow.
You know? It's right. Like, you can say, oh, yeah, like, what were you going to see? Fit Finley versus JD Knight, only in 4FW.
Mm. Yeah.
You know? Or, like, what was it? Like, Doug Williams and Pac.
Mm. Yeah.
You know?
So Z-Pac. Only,
yeah.
So let's get into 4FW in a bit.
Wait, now I want to see that match. Doug Williams versus Pac.
Yeah, well, you have to buy the DVD.
Yeah, we didn't bring any.
So how does 4FW run? Like, because... from where we're coming from, all we know is PWR,
mm-hmm. and WWE,
like, and WWE, and like maybe a bit of ROH and TNA.
Some
of our friends who get into TNA. So what's it like in 4FW being a part of their roster?
It's full time.
Mm-hmm.
It's divided into groups.
Okay.
So it's at the moment it's two trainers, the Saint and David Sharp.
Okay.
So David Sharp will train more of the roster guys.
Yeah.
Saint would train more of the newer guys.
Okay.
So just so you know, the session doesn't slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And guess which sessions I go to.
Well, obviously the hardcore ones.
Yeah.
I go to both.
Oh.
Damn. Why? Because you can always learn from the new guys.
Mm.
Teaching someone would teach you. Oh, maybe I could teach him this. All you know. Right. I don't have to train because I'm pro already, but I still train because I like beating. No, because
I like beating greens.
No, because I like wrestling in general. You know, even if it's not in front of a crowd, I get to wrestle, give the new guy some advice or give me some advice. You know, because helps me train wrestling new guys. You know,
that is such a good mindset.
Yeah, you can always learn from everyone you meet.
Yeah, because I go, oh, I'm pro. I don't go with the new guys, but when I wrestle the new guys, it's like. You know what? I learned how to work with the new guy. Because you never know. You go to a show. Oh, how many matches have you got? this is my first.
Okay.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So how does 4FW brand itself as a company? So like, what sets 4FW apart from other promotions?
I think first of all is the stars, our homegrown stars.
Okay.
You can just tell, oh, that's a 4FW wrestler. I don't know how to put it in words, but just watch the match, you'll say, oh yeah, that guy's 4FW.
So there's a style. You can say there's a kind of style.
It's not a style. It's just more of the way we wrestle, like the discipline on it, you know. Because my trainer is quite keen on Japanese kind of, and he kind of puts his own twist on it.
Okay.
You know, but yeah.
Who are the most prominent 4FW alumni? Like, have there been alumni who've say gone on to WWE, TNA, New Japan?
I'd say different wrestlers have different aims. You know, some of them want to go to Michinoku,
right?
Yeah. You know, 01.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got one guy who had a tryout with New Japan,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's one of his goals. So, I mean, to get a tryout is even hard. So the fact that, you know, and being sent to Michinoku Pro as well, because, you know, you don't want to send a guy Michinoku Pro. They do like 2 squats. Oh man, my legs. Like, you know, they do 1,000 in there, and you think it was a joke. And I was like, you know, when I started, I remember. I came back from a holiday and I was like being, you know, eating all the junk.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and my trainer said, hey man, welcome back. 50 burpees. I said, and he said, oh, you're such a joker. And he said, start now. Oh, okay.
You're fucked.
You know, I think it's more of the discipline, you know. It's more the discipline, and they're quite humble. They don't, you know, oh yeah, I'm this guy. The ego is still, you know.
It's contained.
Yeah, because it's so hard to be, you know, arrogant and, you know, being knowledgeable. It's like a thin line there, being, oh, this guy's being cocky, or, you know. No, I mean, be proud, but don't be arrogant, you know. But like I said, that's why, you know, you having me as a guest is like, oh, really? It's like, it's just me, man. No big deal.
It's a big deal for us.
Well, I mean, yeah, like, for us.
I mean, like, we
don't get international guests every week, as much as we'd like to.
I mean, like, we have the PWR guys, like, maybe every other week at this rate. I mean, we help them advance their characters a bit on air.
We help promote the company.
We help promote the company as well. We help promote the shows. But then to get real insight like this, it's a rare treat. And thank you, man. It's a big deal.
Just a couple more questions. I'm curious, like, what's the farthest place you've been to wrestle? Like, have you been to Asia to wrestle, or have you gone on a tour through the rest of Europe?
I mean, they've asked me to go to Hong Kong because it's so close. But Ho Holland, if you're listening, sorry, dude, I have to go here, man. It's such a long trip, you know. My family wants me here, you know.
Yeah,
I think it was going to be somewhere like up north in England. You know, it's one of those camps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the place, but it was a long drive. So.
If you don't mind us asking, where are you based in England?
It's in Swindon.
Swindon, okay.
Yeah, and just above London, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Just above London.
Maybe like 3-4 hours.
3-4 hours by train?
By car.
By car. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean,
with normal English traffic, not...
not Manila traffic.
Not Manila traffic. Manila traffic would say 1 week. No, I'm just kidding.
I love the curve. I love it.
Yeah.
Who would you say are the biggest names you've wrestled throughout your career?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was meant to wrestle Ultimo Dragon one time, but I was here.
Yeah. We're sorry.
Yeah.
Sayang.
Because
your family.
Because I told them, I said, "Oh, do you need me for this show?" I was like, "No, go on holiday." And then I was about, oh, yeah, just so you know, I'm flying out next week. It's like, what? We had the show. He's like, yeah, you said you didn't need me, so I'm just going to, you know, fly out. I said, oh, man, so I meant to, you know, book you a dragon. I was like, you know, Chinese versus Japanese thing.
Yeah,
that would be wow, man. You know?
Dream match.
Yeah, but it's too late because, to be fair to the promoter, you know, you have to sort out the visas and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So he's probably too busy to listen to me say, oh, yeah, by the way, yeah, sure, man, whatever. And then to a point like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, man, I'm going on holiday, man. I told you.
Saying, you know.
Yeah, but hey, man, you know, it's there. So at least it's something,
it is what it
you
is.
Know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right. I have a question. How much of, you know, apart from English wrestling, do you watch a lot of American wrestling or Japanese wrestling?
I watch every now and then. I mean, I used to watch TNA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I started getting into it. Lucha Underground.
Oh, hell. We get that a lot.
We love Lucha Underground.
Yeah? Yeah. At first, I just thought, like... because at first, I saw the producer. He's Mark the one who did Survivor?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, Mark Burnett. I'm a big fan of Survivor, you know?
So am I, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Survivor.
I don't know if it's still going, but when it was, you know, when I was watching, I was like, man, I love it. It's like the backstabbing, you know? That's how you build your wrestling character, you know?
That's true,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, because just watched him. It's like, him. It's like, heel turn.
I don't know if you remember Johnny Fairplay from Survivor.
Yeah,
he actually became a TNA guy.
Oh, really?
So did Jenna Maraska from Survivor Amazon. She also became a TNA personality.
Why am I not surprised that they went to TNA? Something TNA would do. You know?
So that's your scope of the current product at the moment.
At the moment, I don't watch TNA. But like I said, it's a shame that MVP went to TNA. I want him back to WWE.
Yeah.
You know, because I think, you know,
he would have been suited better there.
Yeah. He hates it there, though.
Yeah.
MVP's actually wrestled here. Like,
Stan actually has an interesting story about this.
Yeah, so MVP wrestled at an event here. I was actually the guest ring announcer at the Divas match in that event. So I won this contest, right? And Ro was in the crowd.
Yeah, we were sitting together, yeah.
Right, and then when they called me through Gorilla, so Daivari was the booker, and he was basically going through the entire program, and he was saying, Colt Cabana here is going to introduce you. You're going to come out and shit. And then Gallows is going to come out and attack you. Rhino's going to come out and save you, shit like that. So I come out, right, and I'm like, man, I'm out here in front of like 5,000 people, and they just start booing me.
Oh, man.
The boos just rained down. So I milked it.
So everyone wanted to be him.
Yeah. So I just milked it and did the Daniel Bryan entrance from before. Like, before he did the yes, yes, yes thing, he was doing this lasso thing.
So nobody wanted you to get saved then?
No. Everybody wanted to see me get my ass kicked.
Wow, heel heat there, man.
It was. So, the reason, I guess we brought it up because MVP was at that show.
Yeah.
Like, he co-main evented it with, I believe it was...
It was Johnny Mundo.
Yeah, Johnny Mundo main evented that along with MVP and Shelton. So there. Just to shift gears a bit, what's your entrance song when you come out?
It's a custom entrance song. It was composed by my one of my mates in London. He's in a band.
So okay,
nice. That's awesome.
So I played him like one track. I think it was like a Pantera track.
Uh-huh.
And I said, can you make something like this, but more original? And, you know, we'd like gunshots in the beginning, put sound effects on it, like Assassin, you know?
Right.
So it's not one of those, what's this song, you know?
Yeah. So what's your routine when there's a show? Like, do you have a pre-show routine to psych yourself up?
Switch off my phone? No. Actually, speaking of themes, I just realized, I changed my entrance theme now because that tag team wasn't happening.
Yeah.
It was, my entrance theme now is Suicidal Tendencies.
Ooh.
And I forgot the name of the song, but it's that one now at the moment. Yeah.
So, aside from, say, turning off your phone, do you have a pre-show routine? Like,
no,
do you
don't turn off my phone. I'm just kidding. I just stretch, you know, and do some warm-ups, you know. I mean, I know you're only there for like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but always warm up, you know, it's very important because you never know. You might pull a muscle, you know. Happened to one guy before. He just stumped his leg. That was it.
He was done for the night.
Yeah, that was it, man.
Oh, shit.
So the whole match was like,
so what's going
to
happen now?
Yeah, so that's when you need to go on the fly, you know.
Do you have a favorite match, like, with any opponent whatsoever or any stipulation?
At the moment, I'm feuding with Sane.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He's one of the trainers, and I love wrestling him because he's hard-hitting.
Yeah.
And he's so easy to work with. Very simple, you know. It's just this, oh, yeah. And then, you know. I mean, I think one of my favorite matches with Eddie Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's Eddie Ryan now. It was Eddie Reyes then when he was starting out. That was one of my favorite matches.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, you got a question.
I've got a question. So I just want to ask you, how much scripting of a match do you do? Because like some people that we know that we work with,
well,
like,
especially now because
especially
we're, you know,
now.
We're
yeah,
not
just starting,
we're
out.
Not as savvy yet as much as we'd like to be. We're just not. We just don't
scripting,
have that much
scripting of a match. You mean it's scripted?
You mean it's fake?
Well, damn it, guys.
I mean that boxing match. That was scripted.
That was scripted.
You know? I think it varies. Depends who you're working with. You know. But I think the more you do it, the easier.
It does.
I mean, like, when you wrestle someone,
You
just know, oh, he's going for this move, so I might as well just do this sort of thing.
Right.
Sometimes it's easier just to, I think the word I want is just plan rather than scripting.
Right.
Okay.
You know, like how you plan a match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's more of like you don't really plan it, but you have the idea.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, like, it would say, okay, you're over, but how? Oh. By cheating or miscommunication. As long as you get the idea,
then
the rest you don't even have to, you know.
So you prefer to call the match on the fly?
Yeah, I mean, not, I wouldn't say calling it, but I would say like you know the structure already.
Yeah. Mm.
So oh yeah, I know what he's doing. He's beating me up now.
Uh-huh.
Then I'll do my comeback, and you know, and he said, oh, it's time to go to the finish. Or just the miscommunication bit. Then you just do that. That one you really need to plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that one needs to happen. You need to be in the right place.
Yeah. You have to choreograph it to an extent.
Yeah, that one you have to plan to an extent. But as long as the idea is there. So you don't want the show finishing. Match finishing.
Yeah.
It's like, what did I say? What was that? Oh, I forgot. This communication thing, you know.
Speaking of that, what's the worst thing another wrestler in the ring you work with happened? Did to you?
That he did nothing. He's like, he wasn't having any of it. It's
really?
Like, oh, you do this. No, it's like.
Really? Oh, yeah, so that's the worst.
Yeah, so he kind of hit him a little harder and then started to follow through. You know, so that's one of those things. Again, it depends who you're working. That's why I said, you know, it depends who you like working. Some people you like working. Some people you just want to get it over with. Mm-hmm. You know, but like I said, at the moment, the guy I'm working with, easy. It's like walking the park. You know.
But does it always happen? I mean, when I say it always happens, like the stiffing a guy actually get him to follow the plan.
Oh yeah, you'd be surprised.
It worked for me.
You'd be surprised, no,
Stan. Yeah. You'd be surprised. I mean, even in practice matches that we have, you stiff a guy once, it's like, oh, okay, shit. So well, I need to listen.
And then, have you ever gotten any serious injuries in your career?
Yes, I did actually, but I don't know because my parents don't. Are you gonna edit this out?
Well, you don't have to show them.
We don't have to show. We don't have to broadcast it to them.
Oh, okay, that's fine. But no, they just want to listen. What have you been doing last night? No.
Okay, then we can edit this out and save it for the Christmas special.
Oh, yeah, save it for the Christmas special when they're not listening. It was during training. I broke three of my ribs. I was rushed to A&E because I can't breathe.
Damn. Okay,
shit.
You know,
who
so,
did that to
yeah.
you?
What were you doing?
It was some guy. He was doing some. He's one of those. Oh, I'll suck up to the trainer.
Oh,
blah, blah.
Oh God!
So we do some shoot fights in wrestling.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Which you might be doing Sunday. I don't know. It's good for conditioning.
we did.
Yeah, no, we've actually tried it a few times. Like, we just grapple. We don't like actually punch each other.
Oh no, it's not shoot grapple. It's a shoot fight.
Shoot fight.
Oh
yeah. Wow.
The idea is, you know, when you pin someone in their shoulders, you're gonna try to pin each other's shoulders on the ground without planning it.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
You're gonna try to. How stable are you?
Okay.
You know, so I was on my side, and this guy decided to jump. So, So I rolled out of the ring. And I said, I can't breathe. And I said, rush me to A&E because I'm always worried my lungs were going to be punctured.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Thank God. Yeah. I assume they weren't.
Yeah. So, yeah, luckily I weren't, but soft tissue still kind of hurts when I do really heavy deadlifts in the gym.
How far back was that?
How recent?
I think that was like, what was it, 2012, I think. 2012.
Ooh, that's
fairly
recent, yeah.
I remember I was out for 10 weeks.
Damn.
No wrestling, no gym, nothing. I was just so bored, man.
Yeah.
Just like, you know. But like I said, slowly got back. Mm-hmm. I got cleared again. So that's that. And that guy's not there anymore. So.
Was he a trainee or just...
He's a guy from another promotion.
Oh, okay.
Because it's sort of a... I'm not saying it's hard to get booked at fourth. It's more of like, oh, who are you? It's like, okay, well, go training, see what you got. Type of thing, so they're trying to impress,
right?
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. Moving forward, how much longer do you see yourself being an active wrestler?
I mean, if I can, if I'm being realistic, I would say when I'm 37, maybe another 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, but I know how it is. You know, I'm still gonna go if I can go. You know.
Yeah.
But see how it goes.
And
Go ahead.
Yeah, and after that, say at 37, if you feel that being an active wrestler is no longer in the books, what do you plan to do?
Well, I'll be the new PWR general manager.
Yeah,
he's gunning for you.
He's gunning for your job.
He's gunning for your job.
Hey, you know, I'm taking on all comers. I'll be like John Cena in the U.S. Open.
Yeah, it'd be like a steel cage match. You know,
you dead, bro.
He
got
kill
like 4 years to train.
I got 4 years to train, bro.
Yeah, but by that time, I'll be like so fat I can't climb out of the cage, you know. He'll just roll out. It's like...
Open the door.
Yeah, that was it, man.
Actually, my question leading up to that, like, if ever you eventually retire, like, from the UK scene and settle back here, would you see yourself being in PWR, like, very active, say, down that far down? I mean,
is it a legit dream?
Yeah, is it,
or, you know,
is it something you would like to do?
Yeah, I mean, nothing certain, but all I know is I want to be involved in wrestling. Either way, one way or another, it's going to be, you know, involved in wrestling, you know. Maybe I'll just be listening to the podcast instead of wrestling, I don't know.
But you said, okay, let's assume that you really do have like 4 years until you hang up the boots. What are your goals in that time frame?
I wouldn't mind going to Japan.
Okay.
You know, that's one thing as well, because experiencing the culture there is just, you know, it's an experience, you know?
Yeah.
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 All right. Any more questions, guys?
No, I'm...
Well, if we're wrapping this up, I guess for those aspiring to be wrestlers and for those as well training in PWR, what's the most important piece of advice you can give to them?
I think just keep training. Don't make excuses because, you know, people can always make excuses not doing it. I mean, oh, it's such an inconvenience. Then don't do it then, you know? Mm. I mean, if it's your dream, you'll do whatever.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've seen trainees, they drive like, 12, 15 hours a week just to train with us for, 2 hours, 3 hours?
Man.
That's how bad you want it, you know?
That sounds so familiar.
Yeah, it does sound very familiar. Yeah.
So always think, like, if you think it's such a mission doing it, always think there's someone out there who's, you know, harder for them to
That's
do
true.
It. So, you know, but like I said, you know, it's hard work, but if you're having fun doing it, it's what you want to do.
It's
then
true. That's true.
It's worth spending your time, you know? If you have to drive 10 hours, you know, then do it because it's what you want to do.
All right. And for our listeners who want to follow you on social media, or
social media?
Yeah, actually, we had this discussion in the drive over. Sosai doesn't do social media very well.
Yeah.
Hey, I know how to share an event. That's something, right?
You know? No, but for those who you know might want to stalk you, see how you look like. Where can they find you? Yeah. Where can they find you on social media?
I mean, you want to see what I look like? I mean, have you seen Captain America? I kind of look like that.
Asian Captain America.
I got a Facebook. I think if you search Sosai King, should be, you know, they'll find me there. You know? But like I said, I'm not as active as all these people, you know, who would put a message. Oh, I just sneezed 3 times. Like, I don't really think anyone cares about things like that. You know, I put events there just so you know what's going on with 4FW and who we're having over. We're having X-Pac on the 23rd.
Interesting.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
So, wait, this month?
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, on the same day
as Revolution X.
Yeah. So he might get to meet Sosai King. Lucky him, eh?
And Mr. Rupture.
No, I'll be his water boy or something, you know.
And are there any of your matches that are you know, streamable, or are they all on DVD?
I think there's one on YouTube, but that I didn't even know it was on YouTube.
Yeah.
My friends kind of told me, oh, that's you, right? It's like, oh, is it? It's like, I didn't know this was online. It's like, I told you that's how bad I am with all these social media. I mean, I don't know, maybe check YouTube. Maybe there's someone there. I'm not sure. I don't really, you know.
You have like a secret fan who's illegally uploading things.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. Or maybe
you have to charge him.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what's, it was, I think it was like a 6-man match. Somebody put it on my wall sometime. But like I said, I didn't know it was online, you know. Yeah. But like I said, as long as I'm wrestling, I'm happy. I don't really care if people, you know, follow me or whatever, or get many likes. You know, it's more of wrestling rather than telling people, hey, I'm wrestling, you know.
Right.
Yeah. As long as I'm happy, you know.
All right. Speaking of sharing the events, even though we might not be able to see it, you want to promote anything on your
end? For FW, yeah. If there's anything that we can stream online or eventually download,
be aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone's planning to fly to England,
yeah, hey,
you get to meet Mysterio and you know, El Patron, Del Rio, and you get to meet me. I don't know if that's worth flying over, but
of course it is.
Yeah, well, if you want to fly over to England and get to see some good wrestling, check out Forefront Wrestling, you know, or if you think of moving to England, you know, train at Forefront Wrestling.
So I was meaning to ask, where is 4FW based? Like in England itself?
Yep, it's Swindon.
Swindon. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so I think next London trip that we make,
I can go a few.
Oh, just bear in mind now, if you want to train Forefront, you have to go to a tryout first because the trainer won't take you straight away.
Yeah,
you have
right.
to see first what you got.
Even if you have experience,
even if I have experience with PWR, maybe I don't know. Maybe next year. I hope.
Maybe that's enough time.
All right, let's wrap this baby up. Of course, we'd like to thank our guest for tonight, for this week on the podcast, Sosai King. Thank you so much for, you know, spending time with us, telling us your stories, sharing your insights, and, you know, just being a part of the podcast this week.
Oh, no. Yeah, thanks for having me. I know I'm not getting paid, but when are you guys going to take off these handcuffs?
when the girls come in after the massage.
Well, my wife, I think Maria, she's ringing me already.
I hear that you have a happy ending waiting for you on the other side. All right, like I said, we better wrap this one up. Happy endings await us on the other side of this.
We're going to have a few beers.
Yeah. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. We got a page up. We try on social media. It's at the SGP Podcast on Facebook.
Hey, our new venture.
Our new venture, oh, that's gosh, right. Shit. We haven't mentioned this, actually. We have this new venture.
This is the first time that we're actually discussing this.
Right.
So we have a website that we've set up. If you've been reading Grantland, it's basically in the mold of Grantland for wrestling
fans. We're not on Grantland. We're reading Grantland. We're not on Grantland.
Yeah, no. What I meant was, if you are reading Grantland, we're basically like Grantland, but for wrestling fans. It's called Smart Henry. Of course, we try to be very punny. We try to play with words a lot, so do check it out. We've got an entire editorial staff. We call ourselves the Hall of Pen.
We have to go there.
We don't. I don't. Okay, you know, guys, just log on to your Google Chrome account, or just hit up whatever browser you're using and check out SmartHenry.ph and
let me
see
write
for yourself.
That down. Just Smart Henry.
Smart Henry. It's
.ph. Yeah.
We tried to be funny.
What's a Google Chrome?
What's the internet?
So do check us out. That's our new website. That's where we put our think pieces in. We also review, you know, all the shows from WWE to TNA,
PWR,
New Japan, PWR, ROH, and a lot of other independent shows that we get to catch every now and then. We might be on the lookout for someone who can cover Global Force Wrestling as well. So that's something
that's in the works
that we're putting up. If you think that you have the chops to, you know, write with us,
are we opening the call for writers?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, right,
yeah, we're always open to contribute. Whether you're in the Philippines or out of the Philippines, as long as you're a Pinoy wrestling fan, go on ahead, write for us. SmartHenry.ph, look us up. And
SmartHenryPH@gmail.com.
Right, so that's how you can email us your samples and your profile. Now, as for the podcast, you can hit us up on Facebook and Twitter, at the SGP Podcast. Individually, our Twitters are as follows. Mine is @_StanCy.
@ Caveman Gavis.
@ Rose War.
And with that, we bid you adieu once again. Sausai King, thank you very much.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. Yeah, looking forward to hopefully coming back here, you know?
Oh, we'd definitely love to have you back.
Yeah, I might bring my wife, Maria.
Episode 59 of the SGP Podcast, done in the books. We'll catch you again next week. Peace out.
Thank you.
Peace. Okay. Hi, this is Sausai King from Forefront Wrestling from England. They have me hostage here at the studio, and I'm on handcuffs, and they're not going to pay me. So please call the police. Oh, and you're listening to the SGP Podcast.